We're going to start this mimer from a sefer which has become a very popular sefer over the past 10, 15 years or so, called the Nesivos Sholem. It looks like this. And the Nesivos Sholem was written by the Slonim Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. His name was Rav Sholem Noach Barzovsky. He was from Europe, and then he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he continued the Slonim Chasidus, became the Rebbe there, and continued that Hasidus until he passed away about somewhere around 10, 15 years ago. Approximately, he passed away. I did have the zechus once of seeing him at one of his tishin in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. Got to see him. And this sefer came out, the Nesivos Sholem, about 30 years ago, approximately. It started to come out. And the first volume was Eschelik Aleph, and it was an exposition of Hasidus and Hasidic concepts. The second volume, Beis, was on Shabbos and the Yom Tovim. It was called Moadim. And then he put out, you know, section by section on each Chelik of the Torah, Bereshis, Shemos, etc., till the end. And now you have a whole set available, plus many other booklets on different topics that he didn't necessarily cover in the Nesivos Sholem. In the hard copy. One of the things that the Slonim Rebbe was trying to do, and he was very successful at this, is he wanted to put Hasidus in modern contemporary Hebrew in a systematic and organized fashion. And he laid out the concepts of Hasidus in his first Chelek, Chelek Aleph, and went through it in a very organized and systematic way. That was his goal. And the idea there was really to make the ideas just more accessible. So we could see from some of this forum that we learned, when we learned from the Sefer HaTanya and others as well, that they're very difficult. And it's really have to know how to learn them and what ideas are being said in a very concise way, kind of have to crack through it. So many Sifrei Hasidus were written in that style. Intentionally, they really wanted people to work hard to penetrate the meaning. And he felt that at this point in history, it was necessary to really lay it out more so, as they say, like a Shulchan Aruch, like a set table for people, and to make the ideas more accessible in that way. That's what he did. And secondly, as I mentioned, it's written in contemporary Hebrew. So if a person is, you know, fairly proficient in contemporary Hebrew, the Nesivos Sholem is a sefer that you could learn. You could learn the sefer and you could access a lot of the ideas. Some of the ideas still are hard and they might need some guidance and some hadracha in it, but a lot of them are really explained very thoroughly by the Nesivos Sholem himself. Second thing very interesting is that the sefer became popular in all circles. So not only is it learned in Hasidic circles, but a lot of the Litvish world, the Yeshivish world, a lot of people who I speak to, Rebbeim in that world, Talmidei Chachamim, have told me that they learned the Nesivos Sholem, they have a Seder in the Nesivos Sholem. Many, many times I hear from people, Talmidei Chachamim, who enjoy his machshava and his gift of expression, communication, and his ideas. So it's one of those books that kind of spread out across the spectrum of Torah Judaism and became very, very popular and learned in all circles.
Is he write on the Haggadah at all?
You know, I don't know. He does have a section on Pesach in the Moadim section, but I don't know if he has something specifically on the Haggadah. Not sure. I know he has Purim and he has Hanukkah and he has Chinuch, but I'm not sure about the Haggadah. Okay, so we're going to begin not with the first paragraph, but with the second paragraph where the arrow is on the right side of the page, almost at the very bottom. Now, he had asked a certain question, but the truth is, I'm really more interested in what he responds. That's why we're starting from there. V'yesh lomar ho'inyin. V'hine muva b'yesod ho'avoda. It is brought down by an earlier sefer called the Yesod Ho'avoda. B'shem Ho'ari HaKadosh, in the name of the Arizal, Rav Yitzhak Luria, who we have mentioned before, De'eino Dome Adam La'adam, Miyom B'riyas Adam V'hala. that no two people are alike. From the day of the creation of the world, the creation of mankind, and onward, there's no two people who are the same. Ve'ein adam echad yochol l'sakein, ma she'al chaveiro l'sakein. And one person is not able to rectify in the world that which is meant for somebody else to rectify and to take care of. So each person has their own tikkun. Tikkun is to rectify, to fix, to improve. The world was created with certain chesronos, certain deficiencies, intentionally made that way by God, so people would come along and be misaken it, would fix that. So no one can do anybody else's job. Each person is unique. V'hainu, that is to say, shelechol adam yesh es yi'udo. Each person has his mission. That word yi'ud, it means a mission. V'tafkido, and his goal or objective in life, oso alav l'saken b'chayav. It is upon him to be misaken that, to rectify that in his life. Ubichlal ze gam ho inyan hamayuchad avuro yorad la'olam l'sakno kiyodua. And included in this is the idea that this is the very reason why each person comes into the world, literally descends into the world, meaning from Shemayim, from heaven. So each person comes down into the world with a specific lifetime task that's given to them by Hashem. That's their yiyud, that's their mission, and nobody else has that mission in all of history. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu ma'amid l'kol echad. Hashem establishes for each and everyone es kol ha'nesibos v'hatanoim, all of the conditions, sheyuchal al yadam l'sakein es asher mitafkido l'sakein, that through them a person can be misaken, rectify that which they need to, ulamalos yiudo v'tafkidu v'tafkido ba'olama, to fulfill his or her task in the world. Kol tanoi hachayim shel ha'adam, all of life circumstances, all of life's conditions that we live in, begashmias uberuchnias, both physically and spiritually, hatovim v'harayim, both the good things that we have in life and the bad things, the difficult things that we have in life, it's all part of what we're supposed to accomplish in this world. Kulam nitnu lo kefi hashayach l'tikun olamo. They were all given to him according to that which pertains to fixing up his world. Shirak al yidei tanoim elu. That it is only through these life conditions and circumstances, yuchal lahagia liyuda, that one could reach their task. Ubiladehem lo yuchal l'saken es asher tafkido l'saken, and without them, he would not be able to rectify that which he must in this world. So first idea here, I very clearly set forth, every single thing we have in life is part of the life circumstances that Hashem put us into so we can fulfill our mission here. So this is one of the reasons why we don't look at somebody else's life and say, oh, I wish I had, or I wish I did, because that's their job in life and this is my job in life. And somebody looks like they have it better, someone looks like they have it worse, and some are in between, but the truth is everybody's circumstances is just what they need for their yud, for their mission. V'kevan shelekol echad yesh tafkid v'yud miyuchad. Being that each individual person has his own unique mission here, lekach shonim tanoi hachayim shel kol echad. Therefore, the tanoim, the conditions of life, are different. So that's why one person is born into one century and another person is born into another century. Lezeh chayav kalim. This person seems to have an easy life or easier. Ulesheni hachayim kashim yoser. And another person has such a difficult a life of struggle. Like, look at people in our own lifetimes who we know who lived through the Holocaust. That was their lot, to live through that in their life. Concentration camps, the hunger, starvation, murder, horrible things. That was their place in the world. And then a few generations later, you know, here we are in America, relatively speaking, for sure, with such a comfortable life. And even people who struggle, and we all do in some way, but it's not that. So just really from, 40, 50, 60, 70 years later, it's a completely different set of circumstances. Uba'ofen kloli hare gam kafi hanira le'inayim. Yesh l'chol adam es yichudo shel mahalei chayav. And certainly, he says, in general, even from a superficial point of view, hanira le'inayim, that means visible to the eyes, that each person can see that somebody else has a different task and a different life journey. Shein l'hashvosa l'mahalei chayehem shel acherim. We can never compare one person's journey in life to another, never judge another person, because they're on their life's journey with their conditions. We don't know their external circumstances, even if we know them, we only know some. And certainly we don't know the inner person, what's really going on inside of their heart. Because everybody has their own task. Nosnim lo kol hatanoim hamatimim bichdei sheyuchal lemaloso. Hashem gives them all of those things that they need to fulfill it. Va'af hamatzavim hakashim b'chayei ha'odam. And even difficult hardship in life, heim gam keim en so'im. Those are also means. Shenitnu lo, given to man, bichdei sheyagia el tikuno, to reach his tikun. She'ein ra yored min hashemayim. This is a famous principle. Nothing bad comes down from heaven. Now, a lot of people would say, hold on a second, we see a lot of bad going on in the world. But the idea there is that everything that we experience is necessary for us to reach our tafkid.
Understand that
right. So we might experience it, as ra.
Doesn't mean suffering, it means
yeah.
Something else.
Right. And a person who is suffering, so for some reason that we can't understand, that's also what's necessary in their life. There's a very important distinction here, of course, that we have to make as Jews and people who value chesed. But we would never say, chas v'shalom, if somebody approached us and say, they needed a little help, they needed a little food, or they need a little money for rent, we would never say, well, that's your lot in life, that's what Hashem wants, I don't need to help you, right? So that's a distortion of Torah, that means that person came my way because it's our lot in life to help that person, not to say to them, that's what God meant for you, sorry, It's not meant to be, it has to show them turned over like that. But in terms of the hashkafa of it, of the bigger picture, everybody goes through difficult things, and that's what we have to go through in order to get to where our mission takes us.
So Abraham, I mean, there's nothing random or nothing.
Right.
No, there's nothing bad.
Well,
that comes from Shemayim. That's what it means. It means that even things that you think it looks bad, but in the overall spectrum, it's not bad, it's just something you're supposed to go through.
Right, in actuality, it's good for that person, but we can't see it,
right,
with our eyes of flesh.
Yes. Bad.
Yeah. So God didn't send bad. There's an idea, maybe we touched on it 1 week, I'm not sure, when we said the idea in the Mishnah that Kishem Hashem Mavorchin al Hatov, Kach Mavorchin al Hara. Just as we say a bracha over good, we say a bracha over bad. However, it's pointed out, it's not the same bracha, right? When something bad happens to us, we don't say Shafianu. We say Baruch Dayanu Emes. Hashem is the true judge. So we are experiencing it as bad, but we accept that Hashem is the true judge, and we know that somehow it's good. When we experience something pleasant, Chiddush, something beautiful, then it's Shafianu, on the upside of things. So our experience of it may be this is bad. But God is sending it our way because ultimately it's good. That's what we try and latch on to as Jews.
So maybe kind of deal with Ra doesn't mean bad here, but maybe purposeless.
That's for certain. There's nothing without purpose that comes our way in life. Now this hashgacha pratis in the world, God looks after each and every person, specifically after each and every Jew, for sure. Okay. V'hakol hu l'tovas ha'adam. It is all for man's good. Kadei she'yisaken b'zeh es ha'shayach elav, to misaken that which pertains to him. She'al yidei zeh yasig yi'udo v'tafkido ba'olamot. In order to reach his mission and his goal in life. So I want to tell you a little story. Quite a few years ago, I was at a wedding. It happened to be a really nice, fancy, somewhat luxurious wedding. And I was talking to some people, and somebody came over to me. And he said, you know, I wish that I had lived in the time of the Rebbe Rebbe Elimelech of Luzhensk, whose yard site was earlier today, and the Rebbe Rebbe Zusha in Poland, you know, and in Russia, when things were at a bare minimum. Look at all this luxury that people live in, and it's not really meant to be. We should be living just with the bare minimum and getting by with that. So I wish that I had been born in that time. That's what he said to me. So I said to him, but you know what? You weren't, right? Who is your taina with? Or who is your complaint with, right? God put you here in this time, in this place, in this country, at this beautiful wedding. This is your purpose, to be misaken something here. You're here, right? So yeah, maybe if it was up to you, but it's up to God, and he's the one who places every person in the time and place where they are supposed to be. Of course, secondarily, having my grandmother, Aleha Hashalom, who was born in Poland and raised in Poland, in dire poverty and hunger, and used to talk about it to us when we were younger, and how she didn't have a childhood, and that they had to go out and pick potatoes as little girls, age 7, she was out in the fields. You know, really very difficult. Mamish went sometimes a few days without having any food. So I think when somebody says that they'd rather live in those times, they don't really realize what they're saying, because those were not easy times.
So
yeah, Pam, please. Yeah.
So every Shabbat we sing and we say,
we say it somewhere.
Chadesh Yameinu K'Kedem. So tell me, do you understand my question?
Renew our days as of old, right? So that sounds like we're striving to be like what once was. I think the idea is this, that Yomeinu Kikadem, there are different ways of looking at that, what that actually means, Yomeinu Kikadem. But one way is when the Shekhinah rested with us. So we're not asking for different circumstances, but we're saying that renew our days as they were then with the presence of the Shekhinah. So let us live with that relationship in our lives. Not that we're trying to go back to what once was, but that God is known to us and clear to us like it was, that we want to have in every generation.
Kedem is kadima.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. As it was long ago or before.
Okay,
right. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're going to flip over the page. I'm going to skip the next paragraph. And we're going to go to the second paragraph, please.
How does it relate to, I mean, it's put in the Lech Lecha portion.
Okay, so let's do this then, okay? That's a great question. It's Francoise, right?
Elisheva.
So you see Elisheva, excellent, okay. You see this little box on the next page there, this little box? So we're going to use that in order to respond to your question. Because this is Lech Lecha, right? Parshas Lech Lecha, where this comes from. V'ne'emar zos b'loshon halicha. This idea is expressed, meaning to attain your mission in life, through the word halicha, which means to walk or to go forward. Lehoros, to instruct. Shezeh tafkido shel Yehudi. That this is the mission of a Jew. Laleches ulehiskadein. Tamid. To constantly be moving forward in life, bedarko el yudo, on his path toward his fulfilled mission. So the idea of Lech Lecha is strive forward, you know, go forward in life toward your goal. And that's the connection of it to the words Lech Lecha. I'll also add one more thing, a really beautiful thought from the Malbim, And the Malbim writes that the phrase Lech Lecha, many commentaries say this, is an unusual phrase. It seems to say go to yourself, right? Instead of saying you shall go. So the Malbim says Lech Lecha means go to yourself. Go to become yourself. Lech Lecha. Go to you, the person who you are. And that also fits in here very beautifully. Go to your tafket. I go to your purpose in life. Go forward in order to become yourself. Lech Lecha. Okay, now we can go back to the right side of the page. We flipped over the page. Second paragraph, where it says, Vizehu, about 8 lines down. Gam kein imyonam shel kol nisyonos hachayim ha'ovrim al ha'adam. This is also the idea of the many challenges that we have in life. Sheyesh shemin ha'shamayim manhigim es ha'adam b'nisyonos kashim. There are some people who have very difficult nisyonos, challenges in life. Va'ad shalifamim bo'achas v'sholom lehisra'im. To the point where they might even complain, al hanhogas habore ito, the way God is leading him, shemamid oso benisyonos kashim, that he has such difficult challenges, ka'elu, she'eno mesugo la'amod bohem, and the person feels, I just don't have what it takes to stand up to this nisayon and to get through it. Sometimes we feel that way. I don't have what it takes to make it through this. Ach ha'emes hi, but the truth is, shekol nisyonos hachayim ha'ovrim al ish yehudi. All of our challenges and life, in life for a Jewish person, hare kulam heim l'hana'asecha u'letovasecha. So this kind of goes back to Neil's question, because Rashi says here, lech lecha, what does it mean lecha? Rashi says l'hana'asecha, it's for your own benefit. Ulatovascha, and it's for your own good. So God is telling Avram, you're going to have to take this journey and leave your whole family, your birthplace, your land, but it's going to be for your benefit. So he's taking that also in the context of this lesson, that when we move forward in life to become the person who we are and to fulfill our mission in life, it's lahana ascha, ulatovascha. Even though it may be through difficult circumstances, it is to our own benefit. How? Shemovilim osa. That's a nice word. Movil means to transport. To transport, they transport that person. Lahasig tachlisa. So it's not in spite of the circumstances that we reach our goal. It is through the circumstances that they take us to our mission and goal in life. Lahovil, to transport. By overpowering, by overcoming, working through them, then one can reach their tikkun in life. That was the part I wanted to see with that. Now, he said something a little earlier. I'm just going to say it out to the class. This is not only external circumstances that he is referring to, but also the inner makeup of a person. So, for example, you have one person, and they're born upset, right? They come out of the womb upset. You have another person, they come out of the room calm. They come out, they wave, they say, thanks, Ma, for giving birth to me, right? They're just like the best kid. The other kid comes out of the room, like out of the womb, with his shaking his fist. And then you have people who are born generous, and people who are born stingy, and people who are born patient, and people who have a horrible time, you know, they're impatient, it has to be now. And it's all b'teva, it's all the nature of that person. Because, yeah, we have many of these things that influence us from the environment, that's for sure. But there's also teva, human nature. God gives each person human nature. And, you know, we know from our own kids, that you see your own kids, each one has their own teva, has their own nature. Same parents, different child. So that means to say that if a person is born with a particular nature, it's part of their tafkid in life to work with the nature that God gave them. They have to deal with that. It's challenges, you know, it's ups and it's downs. So The person is born with a short fuse, so their job in life is to learn how to manage that, how to overcome that temper that they have, to be in a relationship where they can be kind to another person and patient. Another person is born, doesn't like to give tzedakah. No, their challenge in life is to work through that mita which they have and to become a giving person to the best of their ability. So everybody has this, and Hashem knows what each neshama needs, and that's the circumstances He puts us in. It's also why we never really know what madrega, what level a person's on, right? Because maybe you have one guy over here, and this guy seems like, you know, he's fairly charitable. This guy is very charitable, right? It could very well be that the guy over here is struggling a lot more to give what he gives than the fellow over here who's giving a lot, because it may not be a struggle for him. I'm not taking anything away from the guy, but it may not be a struggle. And it could be that for the guy who struggles, that the smaller amount that he gave took a lot more work than for the other guy to give more. And this applies everywhere in life. To students, you know, who are trying to do well on a test, you know, someone gets a 98, they didn't study. The other one gets an 83, they studied all night. So, you know, who did better? It's those are things that we can't see. Only Hashem sees those things. There's a mushal from the Kotzker Rebbe. He said you have two people on a ladder. One is on this level and one is on this level. So who's higher?
Depends on who started lower.
Depends on which way they're going. That's how he used to say to his students, depends which way they're going. This guy's up here, he's going down. This guy's up here, he's going up. You might just catch them at this moment in life, but depends on which way they're going. We can never judge another person. And even ourselves, it's important. Many of the Sifrei Hasidus talk about compassion on oneself, having rachamim on oneself. Because people sometimes become so demanding of themselves in an unrealistic fashion and constantly let themselves down, we have to develop a sense of compassion for our own lives and our own circumstances and be good to ourselves. If we do that, we're much more likely to treat others the same way. Lev Avram, did you have a comment before? Was your hand up?
No.
Okay. Anybody else at this point? Question?
Please, I'm curious, what does Hasidut mean by tikkun?
Okay, this is a very important question that Neil's raising. Let's talk about it a little bit. I don't think we really have devoted too much time to it, the concept of a tikkun. Right, so tikkun means either to fix or to rectify. If we take it in, let's say, basic Hebrew, if you have a piece of clothing that needs to be fixed and you sew it up, so you were misaken the beged, you fixed the beged. That's the basic meaning of the word. But it has a very profound meaning when it comes to the tikkunim that we have to make in our lives. So here's the idea. Each one of us has a neshama. Hashem, with very specific intention and deep wisdom, put each person's neshama in that person's body. It was meant to be there, and it was meant to be in that life that they have, in that time, in that family. Because Hashem knows what that neshama needs in order to reach its tikkun, as he says here. So that person in life is going to come across many, many different circumstances. Nobody comes across the same ones. And Hashem is guiding that person to the situations they need to be in life so they can make a choice to do something good there and be misake in that situation. If we choose to do something good, that means to follow Ratzon Hashem, God's will, in this circumstance, we've just made a tikkun there. We have fixed something in the world that needed to be fixed, and no one else could do it. We have to be the one to do that. So that does two things. It makes a tikkun in the world. That means the world is now that much of a better place. And it also makes a tikkun in our own neshama. Because our neshama needed that tikkun to fulfill itself. But they both happen simultaneously. The tikkun of the world and the tikkun of our own self. And I'll add one more thing. It's also a tikkun for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people. Because everybody has a certain chelek, a certain portion of tikkun for the entire Jewish people. All those happen at the same time. God is the one who hands out this these tasks in life. We have to go through it.
So,
yeah, please.
So what happened if you went through this life but you didn't do the tikkun?
Okay, so.
Obviously, if it's a tikkun that needs to be done, to be rectified, eventually we have to come to a finished product.
Yes.
So if it's not done at the time that it was given to you, some say it's not going to be done at all. When is it going to be done?
This is the idea of a Gilgul, right? So a Gilgul is a neshama that comes back into the world in order to fulfill a tikkun that it did not fulfill the first time around. It's a very central concept in Yiddishkeit and machshava, that a neshama can be sent back here in order to continue to make the tikkunim it needs to make. Yeah, until it does.
Oh, okay, so it does come back.
Yeah, ultimately, everything will reach its state of tikkun. Hashem is going to make sure the world reaches that place. Yes, Lev Avram, please.
This all sounds very reminiscent of what we learned from Derech Hashem. This is like straight out of the Ramchal.
Well, it is based on that. The Ramchal really is explaining those concepts, in their depth, and the concept of the Gilgul Neshama coming back to do what it needs to do.
I had a thought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, if I
could just
set the call well. So, the story that we just finished, the book of Shemos.
Yes.
What the Jewish people had to do was they had become Tameh in Mitzrayim. And they had to achieve a level of Tahor in order to be redeemed. So, they had to suffer. They had to suffer what they suffered in Mitzrayim. The slavery, the murder, the horrible things that they had to go through to endure. That was all part of the cleansing, the purification process in order for them to become Tahor.
Yes.
We see that today still. That what you're saying here, that everyone has their own lot in life and everyone has their own Yesorin and the sonos, that's part of the purification process, that we're still trying to become Tahor. And I think that what we're saying here is that the neshama keeps coming back and it purifies itself a little bit more and a little bit more each time. Sometimes it goes back, it takes a step backward, but the hopes is that we keep coming back and we keep improving. And like you said, Hashem knows what needs to be done to reach a level of Tahor. So that's why he places us in this body, with this family, in this time, and gives us these circumstances and gives us this life to work within to try and achieve that level of Tahor.
Really very well said, Lewis. And that theme repeats itself over and over again throughout history. That's what people do in this world. That's the life that we are led into. But also, it gives us some insight into some important perspective regarding some bad nidos. For example, jealousy. A person is jealous of what somebody else has. So if we could really grasp this and internalize it, so it wasn't just an intellectual idea, we would not be jealous. Because we would know that's his portion of life and it's not mine. And I'm not going to reach my shleimus through what that other person has. If we really got this idea, like if it seeped into our bones all the way, we would not really be jealous people. Jealousy comes about when we really feel that somebody else has something that we should have. And the truth is that Hashem is the one who dealt out the circumstances. And this is, we have exactly what we need to have in order to reach Shalemus. Much easier said than done, for sure, but it's something that we can all work on. It helps us when it comes to kina.
Does that mean one shouldn't want more than what they
have? You know, I'll tell you what, I don't think so. You know, the idea of having more depends on why we want to have more. Mm-hmm. Now, so let's say the pursuit of wealth, for example. So for the Jewish people, the pursuit of wealth is not an end. It's a means. Money for us is a means. If a person is trying to pursue wealth as a means to doing good things with their money, the Seder. Mm-hmm. You want to have more money to do more good things with it? That's fine. And even if that means you'll live a more comfortable life, fine, that's okay. But if a person is pursuing wealth for the sake of gathering wealth, then, of course, that's a downward spiral. A person never will be satisfied in that sense. So having more for the sake of doing good with that which we're blessed with, that's fine. And even we even daven for that. We want a life of bracha. Say it again. Yeah. Yifarnaseinu b'chavod. We want to have a parnasa b'chavod and hopefully live with that parnasa in a good way, as it means. Okay, now I'd like to ask you, that's what I wanted to see from this tonight, and no one should feel put on the spot, okay? We have about 5 minutes, and I'd like to ask you this question, if you would like to answer. I'd like to ask you one thing, one important thing, that you feel that you learned or gained from this series of shiurim that we've had on Chassidus. Now, some of you may have many things, and some of you may have none. I hope not. But hopefully there's at least one, and take a second or two to think it over. Is there something that you'd like to share with the group here that you feel you gained from learning Sifrei Chassidus? Pen, yes, yeah, please.
There's just a general aura, mm-hmm, where there's a connection to the Kedusha of Hashem that, yeah, that is just uniquely present. It, it's evident in every single shiur. Mm-hmm. So that it's a combination of concrete attitude learning, but yet you just, there's just a sense of an intangible that just seeps in. And I know it's not so specific, but it's nice to take with me for the rest of the week.
Great. Okay, beautiful. And there is, I think it's so true. There's this intangible spirit that we keep like touching on it and feeling like that we're in contact with it, and it starts to stay with you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, lay that down, please.
I think I particularly like the shiur on the Baal Shem. Right. And to know that a person existed like that, who had such a grip on the mystical part of life, and that he was able to have such a great vision, and he was actually able to spread that vision and create the whole concept of Chassidus. I find it very inspiring that when a human being can, like you say, create a revolution, mm-hmm, within the framework of Torah. Mm-hmm. I love that quote that your rabbi said. Yeah. But to be able to do that, to have the us to come up with it, and then to actually follow through with it and create something that's just so powerful and is still alive today.
Still alive, right? Almost 300 years later. Yeah. Thank you, Scott. Anybody else have a comment want to say? Neil, is that it?
Yeah.
Please. And please, go ahead.
I was just struck by the sense of the handing on of the tradition of emphasis. Mm-hmm. That's to me remarkable. I didn't realize the depth of development of things from Zohar and so on, and how everyone
is almost always in all of these places and yet takes each upon its way. And this tradition itself, as well as the manner in which you conduct the class, it's very clear that you are here to really embrace everyone who's here. I mean, you made sure that you made complete eye contact with every person, no question. Mm-hmm. And the tradition itself, you can feel kind of embraced by it, and yet at the same time profoundly challenged. I mean, there's nothing harder than the challenge of figuring out why one is here, or what one's dear neshama, certainly the dearness of everything is apparent within Hasidus, what that neshama really needs in this world. It's just a terrific challenge. But both things are there simultaneously, and it's so beautiful.
Shukala, thank you. Very nicely said. Alicia, have any other comment you'd like to say? Thank you, Ed.
I mean, this is not my first contact with Hasidus, so I just, you know, hear some motif that come back again. But I like the atmosphere. I like, there's something that Ruchnius, you feel the Ruchnius in the class.
Yeah.
At the same time, I feel like you put some drops for us, like it's like a taste. We got a taste of something, and we would like to go so much more in depth with it. So we got a little bit. It's like if you taste dishes. This is a little bit, and I guess the way I got approached to Hasidus was mostly through Chabad. So for me, it was very interesting to see to have the broader spectrum of other
streams.
Other streams.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite see or feel the exact differences between them.
Yeah.
But for me, it seems like it's all the same, almost the same part.
Right.
I mean, the idea is still God that is coming back over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And you just feel, it feels good. It just speaks to you, to me, anyway, to myself.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Neil, you had a few comments? Yeah.
So I think there's like an intellectual part, and then there's this something else part. So what speaks to me kind of intellectually is, from the first class until this one, is that there's always something deeper. That, you know, I guess the misnomer of Hasidut is all kind of fun and lively and stuff like that, but the truth is that it's searching for penetrating deeper, drilling deeper, drilling deeper, and there's some essence there that just don't stop drilling, don't stop walking forward, because you can't encounter that if you just look a little deeper, look a little deeper, look a little deeper. Starting from the first class with the concept of God in the table, or God put, that, you know, that there's something, God's present, and if you drill deep enough into your own neshama, you maybe be able to kind of get better contact with that. The other is that there's a difference. I was talking with a student today about the difference between delivering therapeutic interventions and being a therapist. That there's a real difference there. You can deliver a technique, but that's not being a therapist. That's delivering a technique. And that's really what I think that's what we're all saying in this class. Is that the experience I'm having, that just kind of you're the way you are, just your being represents the potential of the information that you're providing. And that really had truly the greatest impact. And I think the stories that you told about your own
journey.
Own journey made the greatest impact on me. Like, this is like this really, this isn't just ideas. This is transformative. Mm-hmm. So that's what I carry.
Thank you very much. And Sherry, how about you? Have a comment you want to share with us?
I have very little prior exposure to classes. I haven't been in every class. But simply that word depth, just having a different perspective and being able to look at things and from outside of the box just adds a richness to life on a day-to-day basis. Certainly, you know, during the course of this class, I've noticed in my own life being able to communicate with people on a sort of on some very tough issues on a different type of level, and there's more of a calmness and a clarity that I see on these pages as we learn, and it's slowly just creeps into your your everyday life.
Right.
I don't know if anybody else has noticed that. But just looking and, you know, studying the intricacies of human nature and being, you know, being a human, being a yid, and keeping mitzvos and all of these wonderful things we've learned in here, it makes you look at your life on a higher level and a more expansive plane.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Aviva, how about you?
I think I don't learn enough of it, and when I do, it just allows me to go through my life with a little bit more understanding and more of a connection to what I think living a Torah life should be like, not in a very gentle way, not too heavy, but can carry you through.
So, great. Thank you very much. And I want to thank everybody here, because I really had a great experience here learning with you and studying with you. I appreciate your very kind words, and very much appreciate your thoughts and your ideas and your insights over the course of the past 6 weeks, which I gained a great deal from. So I wish everybody everything good. Hope to see you around. Bezras Hashem, I'm sure we'll see many of you around. And as we're heading toward Pesach, I'll also wish you a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.
Okay.
All the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.